219 and following. Please note the Advent responses. There are a couple. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. Our focus today will be on the epistle reading from Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment, notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a little spread out this morning. That's okay. So you might have to move a little bit. If you don't know who you're sitting next to or worshiping with, get out of your comfort zone. Find out who they are, because in Jesus we are all one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season of Advent, this time of preparation, this time of anticipation, this time of repentance, this time of joy. Heavenly Father, you teach us that the day of the Lord is at hand. Teach us, guide us, encourage us to be ready. To be ready for Christ's second advent each and every day. Help us to fix our hearts and our minds and our lives toward you, toward your word. And help us, Lord, to live at peace. Peace that the world cannot provide. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Savior Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for our salvation. Amen. Amen. Hymn 357, the first five verses.
Thank you. stands, page 219 in your hymnal, page 219, please stand.
O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make the joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us
God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship
Him. It's time we sing together the introit as it is printed in our bulletin insert.
Salvation and righteousness.
may be seated for our office hymn, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers, hymn 515.
Sunday in Advent is from Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now in speaking the gradual appointed for today. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. And they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. But among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now with the common responsory found on page 221. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, have mercy on your house, and the grace that your glory has. Grace and peace,
love and mercy from God our Father through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle reading we heard a moment ago, Philippians chapter 4, especially these words, "The Lord is at hand." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord is at hand. Well, certainly that's talking about Christmas Eve tomorrow, right? Presents under the tree. The Lord is at hand. Finally, we get to celebrate the culmination of all the Christmas carols and decorations. The Lord is at hand. It happens this way every year. Even the Beach Boys sang about that. Little Saint Nick. Christmas comes this time each year, right? The Lord is at hand. Well, maybe that's not exactly what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is teaching us today. The Lord is at hand. We've been hearing this throughout our season of Advent, haven't we? It's time to prepare. It's time to get ready. It's time to repent. It's time to rejoice. Why? The Lord is at hand. God promised that a Savior would come, a Messiah, a great prophet, even greater than the prophet Moses. We heard that in our Old Testament reading. And what does God do? He keeps his promises. God says a word, you can take it to the bank. God promised a Messiah, he kept his promise. When the time was right, Jesus, born for you. John the Baptist. People were thronging around this celebrity pastor. Think of the book deals he could have had. Think of how much fame and fortune, all the celebrity TV shows. But he confessed. He would not deny. He confessed, I am not the Christ. Get your attention off of me and onto the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The one whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He's the one to fix your attention and focus on. He's the one who is the promised Messiah. He is the one who is here for you. The Lord is at hand. Get ready, prepare. That was the message of John the Baptist. But we know that Jesus came just as the scriptures foretold. We know that Jesus came into this world, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and buried for you. We know that death could not hold the sinless Lamb of God. Jesus descended into hell, risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. Jesus promises that in the same way his disciples saw him ascend into heaven, he is surely coming back. When Jesus came at his first advent, he was hidden in a shroud, flesh and blood. He came here in humility. He came here, in a sense, disguised so that he could take away your sin and mine. But when Jesus comes again in power and might and glory, the whole world will see him for who he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They will see the nail scars on his hands and feet, proof positive that the same Jesus who suffered on Calvary's cross is the one risen from the dead, reigning in heaven, and returning to judge both the living and the dead. The Lord is at hand. God's word teaches us that we should live as if the Lord is at hand. To be ready and be prepared for Jesus to come at any moment. Now, for most of us, it's not that big a deal, is it? How many of us are really, really excited that Jesus might come? Oh, let's say in the next 20 or 30 minutes. Well, you might get out of that last minute shopping that you were planning for tomorrow. But you ask any kid that sees all the presents under the tree, they don't want Jesus to come today. At least wait till Wednesday. Our lives, our plans, our stuff is almost always more important than living as if the Lord is really at hand. My friends, God, through the Apostle Paul, teaches us today how to live in these in-between times. In between the coming of Jesus Christ in flesh and blood for you and for me and for the life of the world, and the fact that he's coming again, and we are to live each day as if today is the day of our salvation. Today is the day of Christ's return. How do we live in between? We're taught right here in Philippians 4. We're taught how to live in relationship to God. We're taught how to live in relationship to one another. We're taught how to live with ourselves. Are you ready? With regard to your relationship with God, rejoice. Rejoice. I'll say it again. Rejoice. You don't have to live very long to realize that you cannot force someone to be joyful. You cannot make a law that people should find joy in any particular thing. I guarantee you, I will never, ever, ever find joy in anything connected to peanut butter. Never. Never. Take your kids on a trip or on a vacation. And while they're doing what kids always do, fighting in the back seat of the car or in the plane, turn around and say, "We're going on vacation. Be filled with joy." See how that works. You cannot force someone to be joyful at a type of music that you like, or a book that you've read, or a movie that you've seen, and especially a favorite food. All you can do is invite. Invite. That's what God does with His holy and precious gospel. He will not force you to find joy in Jesus crucified and risen for you, but He will invite you to believe it. He will not force you to find joy in the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting, but He will invite you to hear it and believe it. My friends, this call to rejoice is the gospel call, the gospel invitation for you. Jesus Christ has come for you. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary for you. Jesus Christ lived under the law and fulfilled the law for you. Jesus Christ bled and died on Calvary's cross, the death you deserve. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, never to die again, for you. Jesus ascended into heaven and lives and reigns to all eternity for you. Jesus poured out Good Friday and Easter in the baptismal font for you. Jesus speaks words of love into your ear. My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. Jesus feeds you with His body and blood in an under bread and wine to strengthen your faith and encourage you on life's difficult journey. Everything Jesus does, He does for you. God will not force you or make a law that you must be joyful at all these things. He simply shares this good news with you and invite you to believe it. To believe that what Jesus did for the whole world, He did for you. My friends, rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again. Rejoice! As we live in this in-between time, God also teaches us, as we live in this joy of forgiveness, He teaches us how to live with one another. We don't really talk this way. It's kind of an archaic word. Let your reasonableness be known to all. How should you live with each other? Well, be reasonable. Many translations would have the word gentle. Poppy paraphrase, when it comes to living with other people, don't be a jerk. Don't be a jerk. Don't demand your rights. Don't demand to be right and wrong, and that someone else is wrong. Don't keep a laundry list that people need to live up to in order to be your friend or your acquaintance or your neighbor or sit in the same pew with you at church. Be reasonable. Treat others the way you would want to be treated. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Love as the Lord has loved you. Serve as the Lord has served you. Let your gentleness, your fairness, your reasonableness be known to everyone. This is how God desires that we, the people of God, not only live with each other, but how we live with those outside the household of faith. With God, we're joyful. Nobody can take away the forgiveness of sins that Christ has earned for us. With our brothers and sisters in Christ, we love, we serve, we're fair, we're reasonable, we go the extra mile. And with ourselves, do not be anxious about anything. With ourselves, we live at peace. We hear it at the end of nearly every sermon, don't we? And now may the peace that surpasses all understanding be yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a quote from this section in Scripture, right here, right now. God wants you to be at peace with yourselves. Not to be anxious. Not to worry. Worry is sin. Worry is sin because we're not trusting the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to take care of us. We worry about our health, we worry about our future, we worry about our family, we worry about our friends, we worry about our money, we worry about our country, we worry, we worry, we worry. It's okay to be concerned about things. And then we take these concerns to God. But when our concern turns to worry, that's when we sin. And we reject the peace that God desires for each one of us. Be at peace. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people tell me, "Well, you know, Pastor, I know Jesus forgives me, but I just can't forgive myself." What? You have higher standards than the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus can forgive you, but you can't forgive you? Do you realize how unreasonable that sounds? My friends, be at peace. Your guilt, your shame, your sin is gone. Jesus has washed it away with his holy, precious blood. He has put it as far as the east is from the west. Be at peace, real peace, true peace. The peace that the world doesn't understand. It surpasses all understanding, remember? How does the world want you to have peace? Well, you have to love yourself more than anything else in the whole world. That's what the world will tell you. We call that self-esteem. Don't worry about anybody else. Worry about yourself. Take care of yourself. Love yourself. My friends, it's a lie. Oh, it feels good for a little while. But if you enjoy living a lonely, miserable life, go right down the self-esteem ladder. Because that's where it leads. There are many, many people in our world that spend millions and billions of dollars on counseling. Counselors that keep bringing you back for more and more and more. And what do they give? They give law and gospel, sin and grace, forgiveness. Very rarely. No, it's a combination of self-esteem, behavior modification, psychoanalysis, blaming somebody else for your problems. And again, it may offer some temporary relief, but without the Word of God, without the forgiveness of sins, which is the root cause of everything that destroys our peace, you will always be left wanting. My friends, the peace that Jesus brings is real peace. It's the forgiveness of sins. He earned that by his bloody death and glorious resurrection. The Prince of Peace earned peace and now gives you this peace. My friends, hear the Word of God and be at peace. True peace. Because this is God's desire for your soul. I've been reminded, especially these last several weeks, the words preceding our text are pretty common in the liturgy of the church. Doesn't matter what denomination, but they're very common in the liturgy of the church. The liturgy that we hear at the graveside when we are saying goodbye to the earthly remains of someone we love. Philippians 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. My friends, stand firm in the Lord. Hear his word. And whatever your station in life, young or old, healthy or sick, joyful or mourning, happy or sad, rich or poor, it matters not. Christ Jesus has come for you. He has taken away your sins once and for all. Your name is written in the book of life. Rejoice! Rejoice in the Lord! I will say it again. Be reasonable with your neighbor and be at peace. Why? How? Because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is with you now and forever through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the word of God, filled with joy, truly reasonable, and at peace, we sing our praises to the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This morning we sing the Benedictus, page 226. Please stand as you're able. Seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is at hand. And that's good news for you and me. This time we ask that you take part in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship today. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that joy, peace, and reasonableness would be yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
We continue on page 227 with the prayer section, beginning with the Kyrie. Please stand. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, throughout this Advent season, we have heard that Christ has come in the flesh. He comes to us today in word and sacrament, and he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we may be kept firm in your word and steadfast in the faith, until we are received into your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. God of all faithfulness, we rejoice that you fulfilled your promise to send the Messiah. Grant that your people may celebrate the birth of Christ by hearing the word, singing your praises, and receiving his Holy Supper. Lord, in your mercy. God of truth, as John the Baptist served as the voice crying out in the wilderness, so also pastors continue to preach your word of truth in the wilderness of this fallen world. We give you thanks for the men you have raised up for this holy task. Bless them and their labors, and continue to send workers into your vineyard, that they may be a bountiful harvest. Lord, in your mercy. God of justice, you established earthly government and teach us to obey those who rule over us. Send your blessing upon all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that your people may serve you in peace. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, we are thankful for those whose vocations call them to care for us in our time of need, including law officers, firefighters, emergency medical personnel, doctors, nurses, and those who serve in the armed forces. Keep all of them in your providential care and bless them in their duties, especially be with those who must be away from family during this Christmas season. Lord, in your mercy. God of all compassion, you teach us to make our requests known to you so that we are not anxious about anything. For that reason, send your healing hand upon the sick and the suffering, especially those in our own midst, including Al, Linda, Kim, Harlan, Laverne, Lori, Shirley, Ron, Mark, Dan, Jane, Emma, Deb, Janet, Barb, Jerrica, Walter, Kylan, Megan, Jerry, Joe, Irma, Rachel, Denise, Jared, Wayne, be with all of our shut-ins. Comfort all of those who mourn, including the family of Jeanette Stelik. Grant all of them your peace and guard them through Jesus Christ, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all of our doings being ordered by your governance may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Time you may be seated for a closing hymn. We'll sing the last two verses of O Come, Emmanuel, hymn 357.
Big week this week.